brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton this morning. How are you doing, Stone?
I am doing well. I'm getting ready for the fireworks. Are you getting excited? Are you staying in town or are you headed out?
I am staying in town, and we watch the fireworks historically at the rooftop of the Coca-Cola building.
Man.
Safe distance away, no traffic.
You guys haven't made. You watched the, the comedy people? Not comedy people, the comic book people from 200 Peachtree a year ago.
You watched
the fireworks from the rooftop.
It's all about...
It's how the other half lives, man.
You know, the 1%, right?
But we got plenty of fireworks here. We're going to hear from the good folks at ACG. We're going to get a chance to visit with Sarah O'Brien and Catherine Dixon. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. And I think I'll start with you, Catherine. ACG, what do the letters stand for? And just broad mission and purpose. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Yeah, absolutely. We're the Association for Corporate Growth, and it's a nationwide organization with about 14,000 members. Here in Atlanta, in our chapter, we have about 600 members. And the focus and mission of the organization is really to help with creating a community for deal professionals. So it's great content, it's opportunities to connect, and it's a lot of community with volunteer opportunities and the chance to hear great speakers and to connect with other people who are doing like-minded things in the mergers and acquisitions community.
So now, when you're saying corporate growth, the target of the people who are members are what size companies and what industries? Is there a sweet spot?
You know, it's a great question. We will take anybody in terms of, you know, membership size. It doesn't matter from a corporation. You can be $2 million. You can be $20 billion. It really doesn't matter. But the key is, are you there to drive change via growth, via deals, in ways that can help, that are a bit more non-traditional than the typical let's invest in sales and, you know, build out new products, but let's grow inorganically via partnerships, M&A transactions, things like that. This community is dedicated to the people who do that type of thing.
That's the answer you were looking for, right? We'll take anybody? Is that what you're fishing for?
We have a shot there.
So, Catherine, your role there, how do you spend your time and energy when you're helping ACG out?
Yeah, I'm the VP of membership. So my role is to help grow the organization's membership, and it's been a lot of fun. It is a collection of folks for everything from CFOs to heads of corporate development, which is a thinly veiled term for heads of mergers and acquisitions and large strategic activity within corporations. It's private equity firms. It's service providers like accounting firms, law firms, investment bankers, consultants, and the like, and a host of other folks that help create the deal community. And it is a wonderful community. I've got clients currently that say, I'm looking to get plugged in to what's going on in Atlanta in terms of mergers and acquisitions transactions. Who should I talk to? And I said, well, you should come to ACG because the events that we have, the dinner series that we have, it's usually CEOs of very prominent organizations that will speak and give a little bit of what we like to call dinner theater on topics of extreme interest. So it's a lot of fun. Plus, we have breakfasts throughout the year that are geared towards hot topics. And those are more generally in a panel format, which is, no holds barred.
So you'll have a topic of the day, and then you'll have a bunch of panelists kind of debate the topic?
Absolutely. It can get kind of heated, so it's kind of fun.
And Sarah, with Sarah O'Brien Consulting, you hang out with this crowd quite a bit as well. What's your role and what compelled you to get involved?
So my role is, I used to be in Catherine's role as VP of Membership, and I've recently taken on the role of VP of Programs. So I have been on the board for several years, and just I'm engaged in all the things that Catherine says that we offer for our members.
So we know you can sell, because you sold her on taking the post, right?
She did.
So what do you think? What are you getting out of it? How would you articulate the benefits?
Well, the benefits of the organization, it's really up to the individuals. You can get true benefit by getting involved like we have and getting on the board and in committees, because that's really where you make the connections that are lasting. Or you could just be a member that comes and enjoys the programs. So if you don't have the capacity to take on a formal role, you can come to an event. You could hear our speaker series. The breakfasts that Catherine were mentioning are really have more of an educational focus. So it's a topic where hopefully you'll take away perspective where you learn something about what's going on with that topic. And the dinner format is much more about the story and the deal and how did it happen, where were you, how did you get to where are you going type thing, to try and get a little bit behind the scenes.
Now, it sounds like that this environment is very relationship-driven, that's really how the transactions occur, is because of the power of the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like you guys have a lot of events and functions that help foster these kind of collaboration and relationships.
We do, and they're wonderful. And it's a big variety of different types of events. So we've got a women's forum coming up that Sarah's chairing, and that is a smorgasbord of great activity coming up with a lot of different variety, and she should talk to that. But it's we do a lot of different things with a lot of different variety to get to people, because they may have family commitments and dinners might be hard,
right.
So then they can go to breakfast, or they may be single, and there's a young ACG forum.
So you have a young person, mm-hmm. forum, so you're
mm-hmm.
trying to hit people wherever they are in their
exactly.
Career.
Yes.
Did you see Kevin's eyes light up when
the
she said about this, the young
him.
Person?
Maybe you should go.
you had me at breakfast.
Now, when you're doing these kind of forums, are you creating new things, or these have existed for a while, like the women's forum and the young person's group?
Well, the women's forum is brand new.
Oh, so that's a new initiative?
Yes, because I think a lot of it is, as we were thinking about how we serve Atlanta's deal community, one of the things that we realized was missing was a forum for women, because frankly, there are not a lot of women in corporate development or senior financial roles or even senior leadership.
Do you know the
roles.
Percentage?
I would say it's probably 15 to 20. Sarah, would you say something different?
I think you're being very generous.
I might be. I'm an optimist by nature. So, yeah. But, yeah, I would say 15 to 20. But, I'm also including more of the junior ranks. As you get more senior, it does skew towards 10 to 15.
If with the juniors we do. The problem that we don't have is we just don't have them in the key senior positions. And mm-hmm. that's really the impact that we're trying to make.
And then how do you attract women to these groups? Like in the young person, when you're saying young person, that's a young professional, or are you trying to recruit
35 and under?
But are you trying to do, we work a lot with women in technology, and they uh-huh. have the same issues. There's a small percentage of women in technology
mm-hmm.
roles, especially leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And they have initiatives like high school age, middle school age mm-hmm. kids to try to foster that, interest in the STEM programs. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have initiatives?
We're not there yet.
Yeah, ours really isn't around STEM. So what we have is we have the Young ACG, and the big offering that they have for them that we're rolling out is the ACG University and programs geared to getting that group together to not only connect them through a network perspective, but through an education perspective on where they are in their careers, because they're at a different point in their career than we are as the average member from an ACG standpoint.
So I want to hear more about this education. What are some of the kinds of topics that have been included in this curriculum? What are some of the things we can anticipate in the coming months?
Well, we will not be unveiling our calendar until September 1st. It is going to be extremely exciting. We've got some people coming from out of town and some local experts. So we can't really share that right now, but we can talk a little about what we've done in the past. Catherine actually hosted one of the panels that she did earlier this year for us.
One of the panels that I hosted was called Getting Deals Done in a Current Environment. So we had, who do we have on that? We had Stockton Croft, the executive director of Arcapita. We had John Heyman, who was the former CEO of Radiant Systems, who sold to NCR. We had Brian Sadler, who sold Chamberlain Edmonds as a CFO. We had Al Cochran, who's the CFO behind Greenway Medicals, going public. And then we had Alfredo Barcan, who was at the time was a managing director at GE Energy. Had a lot of great discussion there, and including some back and forth that was really interesting between a couple of the panelists, which is what you want. I mean,
right.
we
you
liked
want that energy, right? You want that
bingo.
Kind of passion.
Yes, and that's what we like. I mean, you know, to me, for me, if
so
I'm going to
stir things up.
Well, that's your job. You know, like, it is part of little. Our job. We poke. Well, because, and it's before people have their coffee too, so you really have to make sure.
So they're a little irritable to begin with.
Yeah, well, and you got to make sure that it's, you know, you want to get a panel of, you know, non-wallflowers is right. My philosophy on that. So you want to jazz it up a little bit and have people coming away with the idea of, man, this was really something incredible to see these guys bantering up on that stage. Yeah, I want to see more of that.
So any key learnings, anything you learned from that?
From that particular panel, you know, probably the most interesting dialogue was around the concept of replacing CEOs and how impactful that can be on behalf of the private equity firm, and how challenging that can be for the person who's actually doing the role when you have private equity right. ownership and things like that. And so changing out that senior leadership was a hot topic in that particular discussion.
So now you work a lot with CFOs as well, right?
I do, yeah. I'm with the Intersight Group, and we are a consulting and staffing firm that serve the office of the CFO and CIO.
So CFOs, they don't have a long shelf life in a lot of companies. Is that accurate?
The average is about 22 months.
Right?
And, you know, and it's funny
because
you're hitting on something that is a trend that we're seeing, and that is the variabilization of employment. So we see a lot more flexible work arrangements these days, and a lot of our clients are thinking very differently about how am I going to get my work done? And so, you know, at Intersect, we see a lot of different ways of doing that and mm-hmm. a lot of smart thinking, usually when we help our clients around how to do that. But the theme of variabilization of employment is a key one, and it's important to ACG because a lot of times when you have flexible and variable employment, the need for the community of people who are doing things similar to you is much stronger. That need is very high, and that's what we provide. So for people who need the community of, okay, I'm doing this transaction, it's got cross-border implications, how do I deal with it? Or I'm structuring this particular sale of a company, and you know, we need to have what's called contingent consideration, which is something that you don't get paid unless XYZ happens.
Right.
So, you know, for having that forum for people to bounce ideas off is very, very helpful.
I know this is a seasoned group of professionals and some very established organizations, but is the whole conversation and pending legislation perhaps around crowdfunding and anything in the startup world, is that getting talked about at all with your crowd? Does that impact
that's a different crowd?
Yeah, I think we're really not the startup crowd. So our small companies are right. million-dollar profitable companies. So we're more in the cash flow positive
right.
side of the business.
We're getting there soon.
Yeah, or getting there soon. So I think that's more for early stage, and we don't
sure.
really attract them because that's just not
– like your companies yeah. are more mature.
Yeah, it's kind of the difference between venture capital and private equity because right. venture's more early stage, startup, build something, let's get it going. Private equity is more the established
– right, and they're buying existing entities
correct.
That already
yeah.
are fitting in a portfolio maybe.
You got it.
So now when you're trying to entertain, recruit, and retain your members, a lot of this is up to you guys?
Yes.
Right? You're the drivers of this.
Yes.
So now what are some of the strategies you're using to get the word out?
Well, like Catherine mentioned earlier, the big initiative that we have coming into this year, which started yesterday because we started our year on July 1st, is our Women's Forum. And so we have over 600 members in our Atlanta chapter, but only about 10% are women. So we have a focus on reaching those senior-level women that play in the private equity space in Atlanta. And so what we've created is we have a fantastic committee, and we do have that programming set for the year. So our kickoff event is going to be on August 20th. We are actually taking a group of 100 women to the Atlanta Dream, where we will hear from the owners, Kelly Loeffler and Mary Brock.
Oh, cool.
And then our keynote speaker will be Jeff, who will be speaking on the ICE deal, which is the pending acquisition of ICE acquiring the New York Stock Exchange, which is, in my mind, one of the most fascinating transactions that is about to hit the Atlanta community.
That's right. And are they thinking of moving it here? Called the Atlanta Stock Exchange.
You know, I'm not going to speak to that, but I'm thinking they're going to have two. I think the headquarters will be in Atlanta, but I don't think they're actually going to move the New York Stock Exchange.
That would be news, right? That would be breaking news.
That would be.
If you come, you might learn more about
yeah.
this.
But he can't come because this is for women only.
You'll have to go to that youth thing that they have.
You'll have to send a spy.
Well, I want to know what you use because you do look so young. Oh, yeah. You're 35.
It's not good, but programming that we have is wonderful. I mean, there are a number of events. One of my personal favorites is the wine tasting event that we have each year in September. And that is, it is several hundred people in a big room sampling wines from all over the world.
What could possibly go wrong?
What can go wrong there?
A lot of deals get done there.
Get early there and get connected because it is a room full of people. And what's fun, and one of the things that I love about ACG is people help other people. One of the things I get the most pleasure out of is saying, you know, to somebody I know, you know, John, come over here. I want you to meet Mary because Mary can be helpful to you. John, right. I know you're thinking about something along some M&A lines, and Mary's got some experience in your industry. You really should talk to her. And there's a ton of that goes on at these kinds of things. So I personally like the wine tasting. Other people might like the golf event. I'm
not a golfer.
A klutz. Mm-hmm. So
you can drive the cart?
Barely. I do the 19th hole, but it's good.
Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is our events are not just Atlanta-based. Our premier event is the Capcom event. And so this past year, our opening speaker was Bob Nardelli, and our luncheon speaker was George Will. And that's where over 1,000 people in the space in the Southeast come together. And that is one of the most exciting places to be, because not only do you have the private equity firms, you also have the investment bankers, you have the corporate development officers, and you have all the service providers in the arena. And so the upcoming one for that will be on January 29th of 2014, and there will be more to come on who our exciting luncheon speaker is for that.
So now the Association of Corporate Growth, is that an international, that's a national? Guys?
It's an international organization. It's global with over 58 chapters around the world, with most of them being in the United States.
And then this chapter is one of the most active?
We are one of the largest chapters, close to, I think, New York is all. I think New York might be the largest chapter, but we are one. We're definitely in the top 10 chapters around the world.
And New York doesn't serve grits at the price of
absolutely no. They don't talk as nicely as we do either. And as much as we love our New York brethren, that is definitely the case.
Now, you mentioned the economic climate earlier. How has the economic climate affected the mergers and acquisitions?
You know, it's really interesting to see it play out. What I see in our work is that deals take longer to do. Diligence takes longer. Prior to Intersect, I was in-house mergers and acquisitions with a public company. And we could predict with a great degree of certainty that most of our deals would close between 30 and 45 days of signing a letter of intent. A long deal might be 60 days.
Right.
But now what we're seeing in norms is that deals take longer to do. There's a lot more focus on other aspects of diligence. One of the key areas that we see is technology diligence. Does the platform work? Is it put together with chewing gum and fishing wire?
Right.
And then on the leadership too. I mean, finance and accounting diligence, which is something that we do, is always been something that people pay a lot of attention, as is merger integration. But we're seeing private equity firms and corporations recognize that to get deals done well, you really have to focus on all key elements, leadership being key. We're seeing many firms do leadership assessments, so that's something that's really fun too. And then the advanced planning on merger integration, because you know if you don't get that right and you don't hit the ground running on day one, then you're going to lose a lot of momentum.
Now, when you're looking at the Atlanta area and the Southeast as a whole, is that Are firms, when they merge and acquire each other, are they coming here, staying here, or are they going out and about? Are we losing a net, losing or gaining?
I think we're gaining. I think we definitely are. I mean, there are pluses and minuses that go either way. One of my clients is consolidating its corporate headquarters here, and they're going through a major migration. And that activity of how do you migrate well is important. We're seeing a lot of big companies like NCR get their headquarters here and a lot of good activity. But people like the Southeast. They like the fact that the workforce by and large is not unionized, and that has some appeals. Plus the weather, you don't have the snow stoppages that can affect the Northeast. You know, obviously you have to deal with the heat in July and August.
Right.
But
having an international airport and things like that.
Absolutely.
And what do they think of the workforce here?
I think they love it.
Well, I think because you've got, from a university standpoint, you've got some of the world's best universities, but then we also have some great technical colleges. So you can have from a low entry point all the way up to senior level management is what I think attracts them to the area.
So I know there's 1,000+ moving parts in an M&A deal, but what are some of the places where M&A just consistently, when the wheels come off, what are some of the big buckets? What are some of the big reasons?
There are so many.
Well, it's easy to say no to a deal, right?
Right.
So that's the thing.
Well, and that's the hard thing. I mean, a lot of times, you know, your role as a professional, and this is, I think, where the ACG community can be helpful, is to help give the reasons in the platform for saying no, because sometimes that is your job, is to say no.
You're looking for reasons to say no, or are you looking for reasons to say yes?
It's both. It's really both. And you have to think about it. I mean, in my former life, we would look at deals from a lens of culture first, which I think is the right place to start. Mm-hmm. It does start with the leadership. If you don't get leadership right, nothing else will make any difference. So get that right. Make sure you're talking to a team that's going to stay with the transition as long as you need them to,
right.
And that can vary. Secondly, make sure that the strategy is dead on. Don't go two steps away. You want either a bullseye or one circle outside, but not two. And then, you know, thirdly, the financial aspects have to be dead on. I mean, we see a lot of focus on, oh, well, this deal might be cash accretive. Well, that doesn't really take into consideration some of the other things that are necessary in a deal. So you've got to fire on a lot of different opportunities for improvement, and then you have to get the integration right. Integration is one area where people get it wrong in major ways. They don't allow enough time. They don't dedicating resources is a really a key step in that process to make sure that you have dedicated teams to get it done.
Now, that's great advice. I appreciate you sharing that. Getting back to some of the events and awards you guys are involved with, you have CFO awards, right? And you also have the Fast 40?
So we partner with the Atlanta Business Chronicles on the CFO awards. They are not our awards.
Don't be modest.
But it couldn't happen without you. That's our official stand right here at Business Radio X.
We love to help. We think we're the
But it
the
makes
right
sense
partner.
For you yeah. guys to oh, partner yeah. with that.
No, we this is an event that's really near and dear to my heart. In part because I've had a couple of clients that have won.
nice.
And it's something that it really...
They don't get a lot of recognition, CFOs, typically.
They're
underappreciated.
They're underappreciated, and it's fun to see them get up on stage, because some of them can be quite shy.
Uh-huh.
So it's... But we do help judge that, which is something that is important that not a lot of people know, that we help judge the event, and that's... there's a process that we go through with that, and we help the ABC with that, so...
And we should make a plug for our incoming president, who started yesterday. Mr. Dan Bowers with CardioMEMS was a recent CFO of the Year award winner.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. We've had Dan on the show. Well, it was probably a remote broadcast.
Right,
I remember CardioMEMS and visiting with Dan.
So now, anything upcoming that our listeners should know about?
So the Atlanta Dream is on with Jeff, and ICE is on August 20th. The wine tasting is on September 10th. And then our first dinner will be on October 3rd.
And then to be a member, if somebody wants to learn more,
you
website?
Just sign up online. Go to just Google ACG Atlanta, and you'll get to where you need to go.
And and you can sign up for an event, you can join, you can
Absolutely.
Do all that stuff there.
It's all
and
there.
Now to be invited to an event, do you have to get the blessing of somebody or
nope.
anybody just shows
just
up?
Show up.
Really?
Yeah.
It take anybody
See,
for
have,
the first
you
time.
You have to pay.
That weeds out.
You've yeah. thrown the line in the water yeah. twice and you've hit both times. That's fantastic. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you two in the studio this morning. I think it would be fun to have some folks with ACG come through the studio from time to time and just have them on a panel, see what's going on in the M&A world. I think it could make for a really strong segment.
It's a really fun group. You get a lot of good personalities because you get people who can write the books on M&A transactions
right. yeah.
and like all the crazy stuff that can happen in a deal. Everybody has experienced it, and we all have war stories of, you know, what's your most painful deal dollar for dollar? I have mine.
You have a Hall of Fame.
And I still joke, you know, with attorneys that were on the transaction about those particular deals. But it's, you know, this is the collection of people who has been there and done that.
Right.
And it's fun.
Good stuff. Well, we appreciate both of you being on the show. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton. We will see you all next week on Results Matter Radio.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.